Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengue-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Wow. Welcome in. Happy Tuesday. Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing today?
Very tired.
Very tired. Okay. Why?
I didn't get to bed until very late even for me.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
No, wife got home from the trip after getting delayed, and she got home dumb late, so I think the last time I saw the clock was like 3:13.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was tired. And that game, that Blazers-Wizards game took days off my life.
It wasn't good basketball.
It was putrid basketball. I think it was harder to watch than some of the brutal butt kickings they've had in over the last 2 years. Because at least that you laughed at. You're like, how much are they going to lose by? Like, it was just bad basketball.
Yeah, I think there's some. Like, you're talking like the
40 point losses.
No, those were good. You just turned them off.
I couldn't.
Just turn them off.
I'm there.
Oh, you can turn that off. You can stop paying attention. It's very easy to just stop paying attention to those games. I mean, those 40-point losses are some of the, what is this franchise doing? You just get in your dark thoughts. When you have a Wizards team that is as bad as they are, you go, yeah, there's no way you can lose to them. There's, like, literally,
no.
There is no way. They didn't play Alex Saar in the fourth quarter.
No. He played 23 minutes. The number two overall pick.
Well, maybe.
On the worst team in basketball.
He doesn't have his conditioning yet.
Who was playing incredibly. The thing that drives me nuts is he has been playing his best basketball over the last week, 10 days.
Well, didn't they do exactly what the Raptors did the night before?
They did it even worse, though, because they took out the young guy, even.
You don't sound as mad at the Wizards as you were the Raptors.
Oh, no, I am. No, I absolutely. Look, I understand it with Middleton. Because he's old and broken.
Yeah.
He's got, like, Jordan Poole.
No.
The only reason that guy misses
games.
That
dude played 23 seconds in the second half.
Yeah, like, the only reason Jordan Poole misses games is when a teammate knocks him out. Like, he's a healthy guy. Like, his availability, like, the biggest ability is availability.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Poole is always there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him not playing was weird. The game was over, and yet he's still not playing.
It's because they're just not even trying. You know, they're not even trying. They don't want to peel. They already peeled off an unexpected win against the Denver Nuggets. Their season is over now. They're like, hey, what do we have to prove? We got nothing to prove at this point. We can beat the Denver Nuggets. Wizards are totally back. And then you watch what happened last night and you go, ooh, not so fast, my friend. Yeah. And you have to understand, too, they are in a battle.
A tank-off.
With the Utah Jazz, even though it really doesn't matter because, the top three all have the same odds?
Yes, but you have to protect against the Pistons in the sense of the Pistons having the best odds and getting pushed all the way back to five twice.
But if you have 14% all the way through, aren't the top three just flat?
No, you can get, if you're one, you can, the furthest you can get pushed back is five, two, six, three, seven. No. So if the teams jump in front of you, which has historically happened, at least like teams do it every year.
Well, and watch out, Charlotte is nipping on their heels. Mm. They're only two wins ahead of the Washington Wizards for the third worst record in the NBA.
What's crazy is when you start getting into the 8 through 12 seeds being separated by, 3.5 games?
It's not good for the Blazers right now.
Well, it's good in a sense that it's easy to make up ground. Either way.
Either way. They're not doing a good job of making up that ground, though. Two wins in a row.
You're not getting it against Toronto or Washington.
No.
You just weren't. Now, the next four? Denver, Boston, Cleveland.
Rack up those L's, baby.
Selfishly, man, John Morant didn't play for the Grizzlies last night. I don't think he's played in Portland in 3 years. If he doesn't play tomorrow night, I'm going to be irritated. Selfishly. I want to just watch the dude play live for the first time in years.
We do have a lot of strip clubs, so maybe that's why we haven't seen Ja Morant.
You're not wrong.
And the suspensions.
Yeah.
That'll do it to him.
Before he even had suspensions, he had an injury when he came through here, the year before that.
Yeah.
And it was like, come on,
man. Hand injury?
Yeah.
His shooting hand.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball shooting hand.
I know. I
mean, probably his he gun might be shooting
a,
hand,
could
too.
Could be a switch shooter.
Maybe. You never know.
There's a few of those out there.
Yeah. I'm sure there are.
LeBron's left-handed, but he shoots basketballs right-handed. I wonder if he shoots a gun left-handed.
That is pretty wild that LeBron James
is lefty,
is left-handed at everything else he does.
Yeah. It kind of it makes me kind of go, what happens if he does shoot with his left hand?
Well, he did go to a Catholic school, so maybe they forced him right. That's what happened.
Just whacking that hand with a ruler.
Mm. Yeah, that's what happened to my mom. She's amphibious now.
I do love amphibian.
I knew that was going to get Rust. I knew that was going to get you. No, she's ambidextrous now because she can write both right and left hand because she had a nun just whop right over.
Yeah.
Well, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is something to it. Just whacking kids with rulers these days. Get them back into shape. Oh, man. Happy playing day. It is playing day in the NCAA tournament. We have our first game batch of our first fours that get underway today. St. Francis versus Alabama State at 3:40.
Throw the records out when those two get together.
Yeah, they're really not doing us any favors with that one.
Yeah.
You know? And then you have a really good game at 6:10 tonight on True TV. North Carolina versus San Diego State, followed by Impractical Jokers. So that is quite the triple header. St. Francis, Alabama State, North Carolina, San Diego State, Impractical Jokers. Doesn't get much better than that, man.
Oh, baby, leave the TV on.
If North Carolina gets run out of the gym,
people are going to be so livid.
It's going to be really bad. They're favored. They're favored by 4.5, but, I mean, I don't know.
All right.
Yeah. We already have, so I told you yesterday, my son fills out the bracket as the tournament is unveiled on Selection Sunday. We already have controversy in the Hara household.
Are you making a change?
Well, he has Duke beating UC San Diego in the championship game. He thought that was San Diego State.
Ooh.
And I said, buddy.
Is this in pencil or is this in pen?
Buddy, this is why we don't use erasers.
Mm.
This is why we don't use erasers. That look, you dove in. You thought it was San Diego State, my man.
Mm.
You were wrong.
It's tough.
You were wrong, buddy. So we're going through it. But Look.
So it's why you do the one bracket of truth.
That is his bracket of truth?
No.
We have a redo bracket for him that he can fill out, but we all know what the real deal is.
Yep.
His gut told him at the time, UC San Diego, the Tritons, were going to play in the national championship game in their first year as a Division I program.
Pretty impressive run. Pretty impressive run.
Big, if true.
I'm going to hold him to it. There's no freebies in the Hera household. What are we doing here? If I give him the ability to do redos on this, what's next? You know, we're not going to be taking these shortcuts through life. These are the lessons that you need to learn as a little kid, is sometimes that bracket you screw up on, you pick the wrong team, my man, but you rode them all the way to the championship game. So we are big UC San Diego Tritons fans in our house.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to get him a jersey.
Absolutely not.
No.
Have you seen those jersey prices? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I bought my niece and nephew their first Blazer jerseys last night.
No, it's...
I was like, ugh.
Kids, in the kids' jerseys are expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything.
It was cute. They pooled their money together when I had them come to the Pistons game, and they brought $20.
Yeah.
Thinking they could get a jersey.
That's getting you a keychain.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah. The kids' jerseys are normally, I think, $70.
$70? Mm-hmm. That's highway robbery.
I think they got a little discount.
Sick brag.
I'm just cheap.
It is for a UC San Diego jersey, just any 40. Jersey. Huh?
$40 for a kid's jersey, maybe?
They don't even have kids' jerseys for them. $109.99 for the adult's jersey. They have a football jersey that they sell for $30. They don't have a football team.
Wow.
Yeah, how about that? That's something you don't see every day.
Wow.
Yeah. UC San Diego gear. Very expensive. Nope. I'm good. I'm out. I'm out on that.
That's brutal.
You know what? He can just wear his heart on his sleeve. How
it's a
about
very,
that?
Very simple jersey, too.
Is there? It's, yes. That is, graphic design is my passion.
Yeah.
Jersey, if I've ever seen one. Is there a team that you, their look, you fell in love with in the NCAA tournament, though?
As far as their jersey, or as a kid, I mean, younger, it's a lot of the Illinois, Missouri, Ohio teams. So like Cincinnati, Xavier.
Yeah, Marquette. Cincinnati when we were like in middle school, but it's Michigan.
Yeah.
It's the Fab Five. Yeah. Fab Five did it. I loved the maze uniforms with the black socks, baggy shorts. Dude, I loved Michigan basketball then.
I rocked a ton of the Cincinnati Xavier Marquette stuff. Middle school, high school.
Yeah.
That was my jam.
Yeah, dude.
I really became Michigan, but on football side with Charles Woodson.
Oh, okay.
Woodson's, outside of Reggie Bush, Woodson's my favorite college player of all time. Him, and then him turning into a Raider made it even more.
Oh, yeah.
When they drafted him.
The most un-Raider human being
be
a Raider.
Oh, God. Woodson's great.
Actually a good person.
Just a great dude. I've met him twice.
Very un-Raider of him.
He's like the nicest dude ever. Well, him and Tim Brown. Like the two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah, sure.
Just crazy. Once a Raider, always a Raider.
Yeah, they do say that. Mm-hmm. Anthony Newman talks about that often, is that, you know, he played for Raiders, Rams, and Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And the once a Raider, always a Raider is a thing. They have the bricks out in front of their practice facility, all that stuff of all the former players that have played there. That is a cool thing that the Raiders do.
Look, they've been a dumpster fire of a franchise for 20 years now. They always take care of their own.
Yeah.
It's the one thing that they do basically better than anyone.
All right. Well, maybe they will turn a corner.
Look, I think that's why hiring Pete was such a big deal. I think he's part of that vibe in the sense of like,
yeah,
he gets that stuff.
You're not wrong about that. For sure. For sure. All right. We got a show today. We had Oregon State had their pro day yesterday. Oregon's got their pro day today. We have a new mock draft out by Mel Kiper Jr. And things are changing.
Things are changing.
Well, free agency changes a lot. That's why I love the mock drafts that come out before free agency. You're like, yep, I'm hearing a lot of buzz about this guy. It's like, oh, and then they signed three guys at that position. Doubt they're going to go use their first round pick there.
Yep, not anymore.
Not going to do that. Pally, but he's got some weird ones in there now. Mel Kiper Jr.'s new mock draft has a new quarterback climbing up into the first round, and what a climb it is. You got two running backs very high, and the rich continuing to get richer in the world of the National Football League. We've got a lot of NCAA tournament talk today, too. We didn't talk about this. Swag came in hair on fire about his Portland Pilots women getting hosed.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, by the selection committee. Did you see the graphic that the University of Portland put out?
No.
It actually is pretty convincing. So, University of Portland women did not make the NCAA tournament. Their record is 29-4 on the year.
Yeah.
It said no 29-win team has ever been left out of either the men's or women's tournament. They were co-regular season champions of their conference, 21 wins by double digits, one of 13 teams nationally with 29 wins, one of 25 teams nationally with 20-plus double-digit wins, reached third straight WCC conference championship game. They had wins over net number 47 Princeton, Big West champion Hawaii, WCC tournament champion Oregon State, beat four teams by double digits that won a combined seven conference regular season and tournament championships this year, 17-3 in the regular season, in league in the regular season, achieved a fourth straight 20-win season and fifth in six seasons. Four losses came to Oregon State and Gonzaga, and they got left out. That's pretty significant.
That's pretty wild because in women's basketball, as much as it's growing and continues to grow, there's still a depth problem in that world. And
I would say so.
A 29-win team that went to the conference title game
and was a 13 seed last year
is a little weird.
It is a little weird. So that's your hot women's bracket talk.
Yeah.
We have a lot of men's bracket talk today. Because there may... There's something that was floated today that I want to get people's thoughts on. Should the tournament selection be handed over from the athletic directors to a very specific set of people? We will discuss that. Something that I have been talking about for a very long time, it may actually be coming in the world of college football, and I'm here for it. The future is here. We will discuss that. But where we start, let's dive into that Blazer game a little bit more. Matisse Thybulle, huh?
Really good at defense.
He's back.
Yeah.
Well, that was a thing last night. Mm-hmm. Shows you how far the Blazers are away from truly being that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Dusty on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Portland Trailblazers now 30-39 on the season, 69 games into the regular season. Nice. They pick up a win last night over the Washington Wizards, 112-97. And we talked about it briefly at the onset of the show. Boy, that Wizards team is bad.
Yeah. They
got bad juju. They got bad players.
You just feel the funk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
No, it's not. And Alex Sarr looks good, though.
He's been putting it together, man, over the last couple weeks. He, when I did my scout on him last year and did the, 6,000 words on him, there was a lot of stuff that showed up, his willingness to shoot, which has actually been encouraged over the last couple weeks. And when he gets an open look from three, you know, you look at a guy like Chris Murray, who sometimes hesitates, or you look at even a Shaden who hesitates. Alex Sarr does not hesitate. If he has an open look from three, he is letting it go.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's new. One of the other things that stood out was, in the scout, I was like, look, if you've never seen him until last night, you watch him move around the floor, there isn't a 7-footer on the planet that moves like him. He moves like a guard, like a wing. It's creepy how well he moves.
Very fluid.
It's just, it's weird because he's a legit 7-footer. It's not like a 6'10 guy who's like, oh, he's 7 foot. It's like, no, he's legit 7 foot. And he just moves, he slithers around and it looks weird.
He looks like a more full, and this is going to be quite the, he's nowhere near the player.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he moves, that slitheriness, he's like a fuller bodied Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like the way, the slitheriness mm-hmm. of his game where it's just like, you go, huh, how'd he get there?
Yeah.
But he's not nearly as rail thin as when KD came into the league.
No, and he's probably got the frame to probably put on some more weight and get a lot stronger. And that was one of the things that I worried about in the scout was like a lot of times he avoids physicality. He avoids contact. And you saw it a couple times last night when he grabbed an offensive rebound and kind of faded on a putback or something like that. But he had one play where he posted up Klingon, and Klingon is so big and so strong. And Sarr put his shoulder in Klingon's chest, knocked him back, and hit a little baby hook over the top. And I went, oh, that's...
Okay.
That's new.
Okay.
If he's going to play with that kind of aggressiveness, look, I don't want to see him on the block 18 times a game, but like if he's all of a sudden playing through physicality,
yeah,
that changes the whole deal for him.
There is no way the Blazers are going to lose that game because you can't out-tank that.
No.
They decide they're going to pull the ripcord, the Wizards, boy, do they. And we only saw Jordan Poole for 23 seconds in the second half, mm-hmm. did not see Alex Sarr for the last 4 minutes of the third quarter and then the entirety of the fourth quarter. And he had 20 points, Sarr did. That their scoring output just went kapooey once he left the game. But for the Blazers, you saw Anfernee Simons snap out of a brief funk shooting the basketball.
Yeah, he had that one game where he just couldn't hit anything. Other than that, over I want to say over his last 10, he's averaging 25 a game on 45, 40, 90.
He's been playing very well and very effectively, to the chagrin of some, but he's been playing good basketball, man.
He had 30 points in 23 minutes. You just kind of blinked and you went, when the hell did he get 30?
Well, I think a lot of teams do that to the Washington Wizards. Yeah. But Matisse Thybulle, his return 6 minutes on Sunday, and they said, all right, deep end, here you go, 22 minutes last night, and he was all over the place. He had 5 steals, a block, and
on another 3. So he's got 2 blocks this year on 3s.
Well, and 1 to preserve a win.
Yeah.
4 rebounds, 3 assists, and then 9 points on 4 of 9 shooting. It was like that. I can't wait. Well, we probably, I mean, there's a likelihood we'll never see it. But to see meaningful basketball played, if Tumani Kamara and Matisse Thybulle were on the floor, you want to talk about the bones of a competitive playoff basketball team. Mm-hmm. Having 2 guys that play like Tumani Kamara and Matisse Thybulle on the floor, that is the bones of what competitive playoff basketball teams look like. Only problem is Blazers aren't there yet.
No.
And it's
they've got a lot of
keep those guys on together. 2 is the future. T's in all likelihood is a piece that's gone.
It's going to be interesting because
Tease is a piece.
I think you're looking at Tease and Chris Murray, and you're probably going to decide on one of them because you want.
Because which one I'm keeping.
Chris was incredible defensively last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question with both those guys is whether or not they can kind of figure it out offensively. I mentioned during the game last night on Twitter that, you know, Tease is he's a defensive terrorist. Like the stuff, he's played 28 minutes. His per 36 numbers, 9 steals, 2.6 blocks.
Per 36,
Per 36, he's averaging 11.6 stocks. There was a play.
I don't think that holds up over 82, but right now, really good through 2.
Yeah, I don't either. But there was a play where you just saw how good and how, we talk about athletes in the NBA and how explosive guys are. Matisse Thybulle gets lost in that because he doesn't often show it in a way that I think people truly either understand or respect. He let a guy back cut on him, just UCLA cut to the rim, and he is sitting there in a stance and he is just waiting, and it was like watching Darrell Revis in his prime, just baiting a pass the entire time on a rookie quarterback, knowing full well I know where he's going with this ball. He doesn't yet know where he's going with this ball, so let me just wait on this. And he just casually, it's not like he reached out and grabbed it with his fingertips. He just reached out and grabbed it because he knew where he was going. He was like, I'm just going to bait this. And he just sees the floor. He's like, yes, he's a great defensive player, but he's a defensive playmaker. It's not a traditional sit down in front of you defender. He sees the game. It's like 4D chess. He doesn't defend like normal defenders. He baits stuff. He kind of plays in passing lanes in a different manner. And yeah, he'll get down and sit down in front of you and defend. But he also just kind of makes you guess. And you see these young guys who just were terrified of dribbling the ball around him. There was multiple times where Tease kind of just gave the little fake stunt just with his hand of like, I'm going to poke it. And you saw guys lose the ball because they're so worried about him and how disruptive he can be that they didn't know how to handle it. And you just kind of see how he just, not in the same way, but because it's so different, but how Steph has offensive gravity, Matisse has defensive gravity. There's like this bubble around him that teams just kind of avoid.
Well, he's a guy that when you hear off-ball defender, like that's exactly what he is.
He's elite.
He's really damn
good
at it.
He's elite at it. And like you talk about like catch radius in the NFL, there is like a steal radius for Matisse and his level of athleticism. The P3 training facility in LA, where they do a bunch of the big time tracking stuff. I know a few people that have worked there, and Luka Doncic still holds like records for a lot of their tracking metrics as far as like acceleration, deceleration. I would love to know where Matisse Thybulle ranks or if he has gone down there,
because his acceleration, his ability to go from standing still to full speed might be the best in the NBA. Like, that's how he's able to close 30 feet and get a block in the game against the Raptors. That's how he's able to bait a pass, and you've got NBA players that just rip passes through defenses, and he just says, he doesn't grab it with his fingertips. He's there like they're passing it to him because he closes so much ground, and it's going to be really interesting to see what the Blazers do this offseason, because I'm sure at this point in his career, Matisse is probably hoping to get to a team that's more competitive.
Yeah.
And even with the expectation of the Blazers being that they should be in the play-in next year, is that enough for him?
Probably not.
Probably not. And if you're the Blazers, you look at Chris Murray, you still got him on his rookie deal as a first-round pick, so he's got a fourth year. Do you just decide to kind of roll with him?
Look, I know which one I would take, and it's Thybulle, because of he's already so far ahead in where he's at. But it also is the value that you can get in return. Whatever that is, whoever gets more value in return, that's your choice right there.
I think the question,
it's a role player.
It is, but I think the question you asked, do you want the 2-3 defender, who is Matisse, or do you want the 3-4 kind of guy, or 2-3-4 even with Chris? And I think there's a little bit more versatility with Chris.
I think Toumani Camara allows you to
make that decision,
Either way, though, because of his versatility. So, good win for the Blazers. Matisse Thybulle, it was good to see him back as the fan text line, 503-864-6326. The fan text line, 503-864-6326. As they say, can I nominate Matisse Thybulle for best hair in the NBA? He might have it now. He's got good flow.
It's great flow.
He's got great flow going on. You can nominate him.
Look, there's some great hair all over this team. I mean, Rob's dreads are incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, those are, Jeremy's got some great dreads. Like, there's some good flow in this team. Denny's hair is always immaculate.
Yeah. They're no Matisse Thybulle, though.
No, I mean, it's a great, I mean, look, the fro is
no
a great
Trae Young's.
Oh, yeah, no.
No Trae Young's
Nobody in that locker room is going to betray their hairline like Trae Young.
Yeah. All
of those guys in that room, I mean, Scoot's got a nice little fro, too, when he lets it go.
All right.
So it's good
hair team.
Good hair team.
Good to be young. All right. 503-864-6326. Hit us on the fan text line. Is it time to give up the tournament selection to somebody else? An idea was floated, and boy, it's catching mixed reviews. First is Rust with SportsCenter. Everybody was all hot and bothered yesterday over the selection committee and their choice to put North Carolina in as the 68th team into the field of the NCAA men's tournament, and rightfully so, as I don't know, North Carolina is not very good. They have one quad one win and they have a quad three loss, which is telling and notable. But North Carolina gets in, and a lot of people have pointed to the committee chairman of the selection committee, Bubba Cunningham, as the main culprit. He is the athletic director at the University of North Carolina. He got a six-figure bonus by the men's team making the tournament, because when the men's and women's teams get in, he doubles his pay for the month of March. So a lot of people are saying, this seems fishy.
Interesting.
West Virginia, far more polished of a resume. Indiana, more polished of a resume. Why in the world would North Carolina get in when they don't have a top 30 win at home? They do not have a top 70 win on the road. How does this happen? What is occurring? But I still go back to, there's 68 teams. Like, there's always work that you can do. Right?
Oh, for sure. But I still believe that. I mean, when you've got group of people who do this and focus on it throughout the year, calling another team in West Virginia a unanimous selection and the other team in North Carolina and not even getting a quarter of those votes.
Well, you're talking about the bracketologists.
Yes.
Who 111 of 111 had West Virginia in, only 27 had North Carolina in.
And
that's a big discrepancy there.
Yes, and that group of people has never had a unanimous selection not make the tournament.
Well, Sam Newman of Awful Announcing is proposing it's time for bracketologists, not athletic directors, to lead the NCAA tournament selections. And there is a big mixed review here of the responses and reaction to this article. It just says, dude, look, there are several people who do this for a living. where they this is what they do, is they try to figure out who is in. They look at all of the different indexes, rankings, metrics that the NCAA puts in front of the selection committee, and they try to get an idea of who the best teams are in college basketball. And there is a valid argument in those people watch college basketball all season long.
Yes.
The athletic directors and conference commissioners that are part of the NCAA's selection committee, they don't. And if they try to tell you they do, they're lying, because they have their actual jobs of being athletic directors and conference commissioners to where that takes up a large portion of their time. And this is a side gig that goes to prestige on your resume, and it's the fancy, hey, look at me, I'm selecting all of these teams for the NCAA tournament. Whereas you have, you know, the Joe Lenardis and Jerry Palms of the world, that's what they do all season long, is watch college basketball, follow their resumes, and track which teams are the best ones throughout the course of the season.
Particularly in college basketball, because there's so many teams and the tournament is so big, you can't just parachute in at the end and be like, well, let's look at the resumes. It doesn't work.
But, I mean, they do have their meetings throughout the course of the season where they all fly to a central location. Like, they met in Carmel, Indiana, sure, for the actual selection. And they do go over where the resumes are over the course of the year. They have their conference calls where they're sitting there and they're going through what the net ratings and the KenPom and all of the different metrics that they look at.
But you can't sit here and do this.
But they're not watching every single game,
yeah, and,
right?
And these guys are.
To say, though, that there would not be bias with those guys doing it is also a lie.
Oh, there's definitely going to be a bias, but when the sample pool is that diverse and there aren't incentives directly tied to them.
Well, you also have to follow, though, if these people who are working for ESPN or CBS and Fox and all of, even independent ones, there's storylines that are manufactured throughout the course of a year, mm-hmm, that people buy into, including the selection committee.
For sure.
But they also are beholden to those narratives, too, because some of them create a lot of the narratives, mm-hmm, that prop teams up and that hold teams back. And so it's not like we would escape that as fans, no, of basketball, because that would all still be there, right? I think that some of the line seating, that would make sense, and it, mm-hmm, would be a lot better. But the reality of it is people are going to be upset over the 69th, 70th, and 71st team every single year.
Or in 2 years when it's 76, the 74th,
no doubt about it. How in the world could they let this team in and not this team? Well, because they're really not that good, right? Do we believe that the 38th best team in college basketball can go and win the title this year? No. I mean, nobody's talking about, like, the KenPom ratings. Ohio State was ranked 39th.
Mm-hmm.
39th in KenPom. Teams that got in behind, there's a ton of teams that got in behind them, because Ohio State was 17 and 15, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. Some of the bracketologists take KenPom, and they love KenPom. Mm-hmm. Some of them take net rating, and they love net rating. And they just try to smash them all together and try to figure out what the best teams are. There's going to be people that will fight and bicker about it no matter what. The reality is, the selection committee, I don't think much changes if you have bracketologists doing it. It's just a new group of people to blame over who the 69th, 70th, and 71st teams are.
I disagree to an extent. I think the seeding would definitely change. I also think that you would not have the back-end outliers like a North Carolina. Because, again, when it's 27 out of 111, you're getting less than a quarter. I think that's a pretty significant difference.
Yeah, nobody really agreed that North Carolina should be in.
No.
But remember, it was last year, it was how in the world do you keep St. John's out?
Yeah.
You know, it happened last year. It happens every year. And somebody would say that about this year's bracket, too.
And I think some of the seeding, there's, you know, Michigan playing, the whole idea of, like, the committee coming together and making a decision before they go on a run through the Big Ten tournament like that and beat three top 20 teams in the nation, like, that, the fact that they're a five seed's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just like, really?
Like, I don't get some of it.
We're not going to take that into consideration, considering how you're playing going into the tournament is like one of the bigger markers.
I think that you can meet in the middle on this and say that have the selection committee be half of your ADs and conference commissioners, the other half have them be the bracketologists. And instead of having a chair of the committee that is an sitting athletic director of the final team in the tournament, maybe you should have somebody independent
yes.
be the person who is on the chair. This is the same thing we talk about with college football too, though, in that having a commissioner of college football, a czar,
yeah.
they need that for basketball as mm-hmm. well. And have somebody who is the hammer at the end, that it is their job 100% to watch that sport and know it inside and out. And will that person have some sort of bias? Well, yeah, because they went to school somewhere.
They went to school somewhere.
They grew up somewhere.
Or they were an AD somewhere, or they were a chair, provost, whatever, somewhere. Or they worked at a TV network somewhere. Because that's another thing you have to consider here, is that, you know, there's ties for like, hey, you know, we want to make sure, you know, this brand. And that's the biggest argument that I've heard just talking to people in college basketball. They're like, we all know why North Carolina got it, because they want the juice on TV.
Yeah.
Which, if you're sitting there saying that's not possible, you're out of your freaking mind. That's very, very, very possible and plausible.
Well, we saw the talking points of the SEC getting 14 teams in was their non-conference record this mm-hmm. year. We went over that last week. The middle and back half of their conference,
played
who were bubble teams, who got all of them got into the tournament, the average strength of schedule was 100 and I think it was 193rd is what it was. It was in the 190s. The average strength of schedule for those bubble teams in the lower seeds, so 6 through 11 seeds that got in from the SEC, was 193rd. That is crazy yeah. to think about.
And if you take, you know, that group of bracketologists, maybe they look at that and they go, yeah, no, man.
Yeah.
14's too many. When we were talking about this, like I said, they're going to get at least 11 or 12. I can't remember what the number was. I was like, they're going to get that. But 14 is bonkers.
It is bonkers.
Like, that's a crazy number.
Do you know, let's go into this next. They have quite a few teams that are underdogs in the opening round as well. The mighty SEC
oh, yeah.
is underdogs in quite a few games. We'll get to those next. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Mighty SEC got 14 teams in the NCAA tournament. And it was interesting when the betting lines came out and you hear the analysts start talking about these games, and nobody knows what the hell's going to happen when the ball goes in the air. Come, actually, tonight. And tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Playing games.
But Thursday, Friday, we don't know what's going to happen when the ball goes up. And all hell does break loose. Every year in the NCAA tournament, we get teams like Fairleigh Dickinson mm-hmm. and you get your UMBCs.
Hey, Cinderella's are Cinderella's for a reason.
But as we head into the tournament, all the discussion was how great the SEC is. And the top of that conference is exactly what they say it is. Their top teams are electric.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have three of the final four.
Yes.
But does that mean 14 teams are worthy of the NCAA tournament? Mm-hmm. Maybe not. The lower portion of the SEC that got in, most of them are underdogs in the opening round. In the play-in game, the 11 matchup, Xavier, Texas. Xavier is 3.5-point favorites. Gonzaga in the 8-9 matchup with Georgia, 5.5-point favorites, which, by the way, is one of the bigger lines of any of the 8-9 matchups.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is the biggest of any of the 8-9 matchups. KU in the 7-10 matchup with Arkansas, 4.5-point favorites. St. Mary's, 3.5-point favorites over Vandy, which Vanderbilt, when we went over that, their non-con was like 270-something.
It was horrendous. I looked at that schedule and went, oh, good God.
UConn, 4.5-point favorites over Oklahoma in the 8-9 matchup, right? And then, so you have four teams that are dogs. And then if you've noticed and kind of followed along what a lot of the prognosticators are saying and people that cover the game, right? Whether it's you go to ESPN or you go to CBS Sports, the big upset picks are Texas A&M losing to Yale,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well,
Missouri losing to Drake. Those are 4-13 and 6-11 matchups. Ole Miss, if they get matched up with San Diego State, mm-hmm. people are saying, if San Diego State beats you or North Carolina, they can go and they can beat Ole Miss.
Particularly as it pertains to Yale and Drake, it's not just the SEC that's at play there. It's those two teams that they're playing. Stylistically, when you're talking about Yale, they don't have the athletes, but the system, like when the Ivy League teams come in there, it's Yale, it's Princeton. They play a particular brand of basketball.
Well, you're going smart guy basketball?
They play smart guy basketball. They are going to make you make mistakes. That's what they do. That's why the Princeton offense was so prolific for so long, and there's still elements of it out there. Like, there's a reason why that exists. It's a framework. You come to those schools, and you play a particular style. Drake, we talk about, they play the slowest pace in college basketball. They are going to wear you down. They are going to make you work. And I think you could throw pretty much any team in those situations. Colorado State's another one. Colorado State plays a brand of basketball where they're physical, they wear you down. They're a 12 seed over Memphis, and they're favorited. Like, it's so it's yes, the SEC is in there, and they have some teams that are underdogs as higher seeds. But I think a lot of that has to do with those particular matchups too.
Well, we've got some of the data here. The SEC is projected to have in Vegas the highest win percentage of any conference in the tournament this year. They have a lot more teams, but they have the high end teams are where
really good.
They're going to go a long way.
I mean, you talk about Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee. Like those four teams they're good.
Here's the question, though. Of 14 teams, like the high-end teams, they should win.
Yeah.
And we do expect them mm-hmm. to win.
How many of those low-end ones are going to pull it upset or do what they're supposed to
yeah,
do?
Yeah, what justifies 14 teams getting in?
It doesn't.
Like, how many wins do they need? Because they're not going to be perfect. They're not. But how many, like, getting to, the round of 32 and then the round of, getting to the Sweet 16? What number of teams need to advance to be like, no, yep, they got that right? Because if half of them then lose yeah. and only seven make it through, I think a lot of people would be like, what is this?
It's probably nine.
Nine teams make
it
through.
14 make it through at least opening weekend.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the case. And here's the thing, like the top end should absolutely make it. So it's a matter of how many of the seven through 14.
Like, yeah.
So if you're talking about that group, probably three of that other seven have to make it through.
Okay.
I think that's the case because you're going to get an upset in that top seven. That's going to happen. So probably three, because if you're getting 14, I think you have to put more emphasis on the back end of those teams getting through.
I am an agent of chaos. We all know this. I love this. I am so hoping that the SEC just gets their lunch handed to them.
Well, we had this happen a couple years ago with the ACC. Remember, they got a bunch of teams in and
11.
They just got smoked.
Yeah.
They just got smoked and everyone went, yeah, not doing that again.
I hope like their three high-end teams, they're the ones that go through.
And then everybody and 11 else is losses.
And you're just like, meh, well maybe next time.
Maybe the SEC wasn't that good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm pulling for, I always like to pull Big East basketball, soft spot in my heart.
Oh, God, yes.
I love Big East basketball. I want the Big East teams
to
win,
too. Oh, yeah, no, look, I'm riding the Patino train, baby.
Yeah, the get your white suit.
100%.
I got Patino audio.
Oh, give it to me.
You want Patino audio?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get Patino audio coming up at 1:15, but the future is here. The future is right now. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.